Let us pray. Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit to dwell here among us, so that only your word may be spoken, and only your word may be heard. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. We have begun our 40-day journey through the Lenten wilderness. Not a literal wilderness, of course, not here in the rainy and even snowy Willamette Valley, but a metaphorical wilderness, perhaps even a spiritual wilderness. People often try and enter this period of the Lenten wilderness through some sort of spiritual practice of giving up, traditionally understood to be fasting and not eating meat during the season, though today it's more commonly fasting from sweets or coffee or curse words or television or social media. In the gospel that we just heard, it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into that wilderness, and I hope that all those of us who did take on Lenten practices were led by the Spirit in that process. Mark's gospel puts it a bit differently, though, uses slightly different language. Mark doesn't say that the Spirit led Jesus, but rather that the Spirit drove Jesus. It's a little different emphasis, a little bit more intense language. Being led makes it feel like you have a choice in the matter, doesn't it? You can choose to not follow the person that's trying to lead you. But being driven, that's something against your will. That's something in which you have no choice. And that is the reality of the Lenten wilderness for some, and probably for all of us at some point in our lives. We find ourselves in the Lenten desert wilderness, not of our own volition, not of our own choice, maybe not even during Lent, being driven against our will. The wilderness of unemployment, for example, or inadequate employment. The wilderness of relationships falling apart. The wilderness of families torn apart. The wilderness of grief over recent or upcoming death. The medical wilderness of cancer, chronic pain, heart disease, HIV, depression, PTSD, and so many more. The wilderness of fear that seems to come and permeate our lives and the media and our civic life so intensely these days. Some of us may be in that wilderness right now. Maybe we've been there for a while. Some of us may not be there right now, but maybe we've been there and we can remember what that's like. Or maybe we will find ourselves in such a wilderness before this season is done. These two types of wilderness are quite different, of course, aren't they? The wilderness you choose versus the wilderness you are driven into are different. Just as all training is inadequate in fully preparing us for the real thing. But it does give us a sense of what the wilderness is like and can help connect us to Jesus in his own struggles. Whenever I have thought about the desert wilderness experience of Jesus, I've tended to focus on the sparseness and the heat of the environment. Even this morning when I saw the snow, I couldn't help chuckle to myself how ironic it was that this was our reading today as the snow was falling. And I've tended to focus on the hunger and the temptations that the devil offers him. But this past summer, I got a new image that has been sitting in my mind. I went to Atlanta, Georgia for a conference, and the conference is held at an Episcopal church there that has numerous Tiffany stained glass windows that are all related in some way to the life of Jesus. It starts with the Annunciation and goes on to Jesus' birth, and Jesus as a child in the temple, and his baptism in the River Jordan by John, until you get to the window of the wilderness. And all the other windows have just been chock full of things, right? They're packed in with image. But the wilderness window is very sparse. And it just has this rock and Jesus sitting on it with his head down and a snake down in the corner. And Jesus looks lonely in this window. And that was an image of Jesus in the desert that I had never thought of before. Jesus lonely during these 40 days. And it's an image that I just can't shake. It's an image of Jesus' loneliness that has started haunting me and my reading of this gospel story. I never thought about that possible loneliness out there for those 40 days, a loneliness that he would again feel when most of his disciples abandoned him when he went to his cross. Of course, out there in the desert, he did eventually find connection, didn't he? He did, as through those 40 days, have connection with others. First, it was the devil, that old crafty tempter, as we heard in that Genesis reading, right? Trying to build a relationship with him by offering Jesus survival and protection and power. And in that window, you have that little snake down there to remind you of that visit by the devil. But not all connection is good, of course, for the price to pay for what the devil offers him is much too steep. And so Jesus rejects this attempted exit from his isolation. But after the devil departs from him and he is alone again, in comes another connection. This time the angels, the messengers of God, to care and support him, to nurture him, and to end that loneliness that he is experiencing. These two possible relationships that Jesus has offered out there in the desert are quite different. The relationship the devil offers is a transactional relationship of power and greed. Worship me and I'll give you these kingdoms. Be in relationship with me and I will give you stuff. Right? It's a quid pro quo. But the relationship that the angels offer has no quid pro quo. It is pure, unselfish love and grace. Now, I am not suggesting that we should all go out and try to be lonely for Lent. That is not what the point of this sermon is. I'm not advocating that you purposely try to enter the loneliness as your Lenten discipline. Rather, what I am wondering more and more is if we are already in the wilderness of loneliness, at least the wilderness of isolation, which ultimately will lead to loneliness as a society. Have we already been driven into that second kind of wilderness? The wilderness does not neatly fit into a 40-day liturgical season with a day off each week. A wilderness manifested in isolation and loneliness. It has been almost two decades since Robert Putnam published that book, Bowling Alone, in which he made that case that we are more isolated than we've ever been as a society. And we seem to have only isolated ourselves more and more in the time since. Those community gathering places have continued to decline. I doubt we know our neighbors any better today than we did a couple of decades ago. I read an article a few months ago about the decline in friendships, especially for men, but for everybody in the 21st century. Much technology, which seems like it should help connect us by making connection easier, seems to be doing the opposite. Kids have school still, fortunately, but for adults, there are fewer options for us to connect, and fewer of us are taking advantage of those options. Church is one of the last places where adults still go to gather with other adults in a community. Not just as individuals gathering in the same place, but disconnected from each other. Like if you go to a coffee shop, if you've been to a coffee shop lately, right? No one's talking to each other, all on their phones, using the free Wi-Fi, right? You're together, but you're not in relationship. You're not in community. But the church is a place where people are truly in relationship with each other. sometimes crossing boundaries of who we would normally interact with, offering dignity and respect to every person. In many ways, this is, of course, a sermon that preaches to the choir, as the old expression goes. For you all have gathered here today, and you know that community matters. It matters to you. This community matters to you, and that's one of the reasons why you are here. You are the great resistance of the isolating forces of our day. Every time we show up for each other and engage with each other, we are resisting these powerful forces that are driving people into the wilderness of isolation. As folks who know how valuable relationship is, as a people who worship a God who wanted to be in relationship with us so badly that God came down here to be one of us, to live among us and live our life, we know how important this is. And so it is our task, our call, to build community, to build relationship, to make bridges and friendships, to help move this world through the wilderness of isolation and loneliness, through Lent, through Holy Week, through Good Friday, and into Easter. Because that is the real Lenten task, to move towards Easter. We just have to get through the desert to get there. And there are no shortcuts if we really want to discover the new life, the transformed life of resurrection. And so we have to enter into that loneliness, into that desert, and start building real, deep, abiding relationships, relationships of support and nurture and affection, like the angels offered to Jesus. And not relationships that are transactional, relationships of greed and power, like the devil offered. We have to be committed to a different way of life, a life of connection to each other and to this world. Building relationship, a community, not only in here, but out there also. A community grounded in love and grace. Amen.